Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That penalty doesn't show up yet on the board. Here's Stamkos across, driven, and it's deflected away as Kucherov one time that. Here's Point, shooting, scores! Braden Point off the post and in with 2.7, takes care of one of those penalties, and the Lightning get a desperately needed goal back before the intermission. Johnson. Out of Kucherov down low. Mac Johnson down on a knee. They work it around and score! Point off the Stamkos pass. He scored again. And this game is tied at two.
Oh, great patience. Absolutely great patience by all of them.
Point now in the slot. Kucherov swerves in front. Point shoots.
Wow.
Scores! Braden Point a hat trick and power play goals. Point, his first hat trick in the NHL, and it's scored in the span of a minute and 31 seconds in play.
That was the Tampa Bay Lightning version of three goals in 91 seconds. Braden Point, the natural hat trick, a flurry of power play goals, and the Lightning come back to beat the Penguins last night at PPG Paints Arena 4-3. That's What's on Tap, brought to you by Fatheads Brewery. Chris is here. Still waiting on Little Muller.
We did not think that that was going to be the case. About 7:15 this morning, thought it was going to be a solo PM team.
Did you guys go to the game last night?
No, we gave those tickets away. Gave them to a friend. Not so much because we didn't want to go on its own merits. I mean, it's the Lightning and the Penguins. You're going to see a lot of star wattage, but it was not a feasible thing, really. I mean,
we're going minute to minute here, man.
Do you think
with like the Le Mans class and everything else?
Le Mans. Pontiac Le Mans.
Do you think that shows you how much I know about childbirth? Do you think that with everything you've learned, that if you were at the game with her and she went into labor, that if your section got together, you could birth the baby at the game?
Yeah, my section could call the trained medical professionals that are on staff at any game, and we could birth the baby using, you know, those people as
a Penguins baby. I think you might get season tickets for life if you did that.
They have so we're going to McGee. They have, like, Mario Lemieux has donated as part of, like, his, because I think Austin was premature, mm-hmm. his son. He has donated, like, these gift boxes to, and I think they run out pretty quickly. So it's usually only October and November births have a shot at them most years. So we might get some sort of...
What's in there? Like a little Penguins jersey?
Yeah, it's like a little... They showed us when we toured the hospital. It's like a little care package. Hopefully not a DVD of this season so far. My God.
Are you going to put the Daddy Made 9 threes in a row onesie on the infant ASAP?
No, because it's too big. It's like a 9 to 12 month kind of deal. Okay. Yeah, that'll be for when he's a little older. Mm. I'm trying not to screw up and say the name here. Because we know what the name is, so we call him that in the house, and I don't want to mess it up on the air.
Okay.
Chances are I will.
We'll dump
course.
It if you say it.
Well, yeah,
so it won't
but
go
you
out.
And Craig will
yeah,
know.
Okay.
I don't want you guys to know.
There may or may not be money on the line.
Yeah. This game, like, I don't know, man.
I want to say this about what happened.
It's getting ridiculous
because
with these guys.
I was set to just pretty much do 4 hours on the Steelers, and then I talked to Zeiss before we went on the air.
Never
Paul
a good
was
idea.
Here. Because he needed to pump out a column for the Post-Gazette's website, and he had to do the roundtable show that airs on Saturday, and he's headed down to Winston-Salem tomorrow for the Pitt game to watch his son play. And so he's trying to churn out an article, and, you know, he's just kind of like muttering to himself as he's doing this.
And all these guys, unbelievably stink.
He's like making noises.
Yeah, a lot of grunting.
And I'm looking over, and I'm like, Paul, what's going on? And he's like, these Penguins fans are unbelievable. I'm like, what's wrong? So Paul writes for the Post-Gazette's website a column that's titled, Paul Zeiss, These Penguins Might Not Be Stanley Cup Caliber. And after that column, you would not believe some of the comments
vitriol
that Paul Zeiss has received
I would believe
from
them.
Penguins fans.
I would believe them.
Is it not? I mean, we can't criticize the Penguins yet. What am I missing here? Paul
the
said,
only people that are allowed to are diehard Penguins fans. This is a phenomenon that no one should be unfamiliar with if they happen to work in the media or pay attention to the media. You criticize the Penguins, you get absolutely obliterated by fans who will tell you not only are you wrong, but that you truly don't understand the game.
Are their fans blinded or ignorant or unwilling to believe the truth or just don't want to say it? Like, what is it? I mean, Paul makes some reasonable points in this column. He doesn't think right now, with their depth and what they have behind their stars, that they're good enough to compete for a championship.
I think there's...
And why is that such a bad thing to say?
I think people don't like any actual negativity unless they decide it's time to be negative.
It's reality. It's not negativity.
I understand that. The only defense I'll offer, I won't offer the defense for the people that, I mean, some of the stuff that was said to me yesterday after our interview with Bob Grove when we asked if the Hornquist contract would be a really good one. Some of the stuff I got was unbelievable.
And what do you mean?
I can't even say it. It was get the something something out of the somewhere, your Pirates loving station, you guys suck. That kind of, I mean, it was awful. It was pretty rough. It was pretty graphic. My point is, though, like, I could understand the desire of yeah. Where's the other Zeiss clip from last night? Can we play this one, get it out of the way early here on the show? I need the other one right above that, Craig. Directly above it in Andrew's folder, maybe.
No, it's in Craig's.
Oh, it's in, yeah. Listen to this.
No, how about that?
Play it again, louder, with a
no,
little...
No, how about that?
What could that have been about?
About his column, possibly.
I guess. Okay, so here's my thing. You have seen this team, if you have been a fan for any length of time, switch coaches midstream two separate years. The first time when the team was, what, I think out of playoff position in 09 and went on a crazy run to get into the, I think, the fourth seed, and then they win it all. That was a year after they had gone to the cup and lost.
Mm-hmm.
Then in Mike Sullivan's run, you have him take over midstream from one of the least inspiring coaches you could possibly imagine, a guy that should have been like an adjunct professor at Bemidji State or something like that, and he takes them to a Stanley Cup. So I get, if you are a fan of this team, why even seeing them languishing along, winning, losing games in really frustrating fashion and losing 7 of 8 is not cause for total panic, because twice you have seen a team get off the ropes and win Stanley Cups.
But you just named two that supplied a solution, and that answer was firing the coach.
Correct.
And nobody wants to do that.
Correct.
Instead of radical changes, we're talking about Tanner Pearson.
Correct. Well, this reminds me of Bielsma's couple years after he won, where things wouldn't get better and people got frustrated because they kept going back to the same well. And Bielsma's old, do you remember Bielsma's mantra?
Yes.
It became like something that people mocked him with.
Get to our game.
Penguins hockey. And I think Mike Sullivan is a considerably better head coach than Dan Bielsma ever was on his best day.
Mm-hmm.
But they are drifting towards that sort of mentality, or that's that sort of situation where it's like, wait a minute, is what they're doing going to keep working? And the big difference between 09 especially and right now, but also to some degree 2016, that 09 team had a bunch of early 20s guys who were underperforming.
Yeah.
Now those guys are in their early 30s. There's a big difference there in what you're capable of. Justin Schultz coming back is going to help this team. How much? It better help them a ton right now, given the way things are going.
So with any intervention, the first thing you have to do is recognize that you have a problem.
Correct.
The first step is recognizing that there's a problem. And once you figure out what the problem is, then you go from there. Do the Penguins have a problem?
Yes.
What is it?
One, they're not winning enough hockey games.
Well, okay, but like...
I think that they are...
Pin them down on something.
Lack of depth and mediocre goaltending from their presumed best goalie. Lack of scoring depth and a mediocre performance from Matt Murray to this point. And I would argue as
How
well...
How do you fix that?
I mean, they tried to fix it by flipping a depth guy for a depth guy and hoping that they were buying low on the correct guy.
Oof.
And in Matt Murray's case...
Man, I can barely contain myself. I should go get a Tanner Pearson jersey now before
You getting the vapors right now thinking about it?
Oh, man.
In Matt Murray's case, I think Bob Grove said this to us, or Jason Mackey did, one of the two. I think it was Mackey. Play Casey DeSmith more if he's continuing to play well. And I was a believer in the idea that Matt Murray needed to try to find himself. But you keep losing games like this, you got to play the guy that's given you a better chance. So that's the solution there. The solution to the other stuff, to the lack of quality depth offensively, to the did you really need to bring Jack Johnson in, you know what the unfortunate solution there is? Those guys have to play better. And that is the worst solution to a problem you can ever confront a team
with. How about Matt Cullen? What was the point of that? Did we need to bring in the oldest player in the NHL without really a true position for him? Sometimes he plays wing, sometimes he plays center, sometimes he's up in the third line, sometimes in the fourth line.
He's Dad Cullen.
He's moving Shane around. I mean, what was the point of that?
Because people liked him a lot, and they liked him a lot, and they are a franchise that has shown a willingness to continually try to hang on to guys that are favorites, either internally or with fans.
You know what? I think the biggest problem is Murray. And it's not, you know, people will say, well, Andrew, they scored, you know, the Lightning scored 2-5 on three goals last night, and they've got all this firepower. I get that. But
it's not last night's game.
It's not just one game for Murray. There are three goalies right now in the entire NHL that have a lower save percentage than Matt Murray. Why don't you look that stat up, Penguins fans? This isn't some subjective opinion on my part. They're called facts. There are only three goaltenders with a worse save percentage. Pick up a book or go online and figure it out. Peter Mrazek, Mike Smith, and a guy named Cale Picard are the only three guys in the NHL with a lower save percentage. The goalie blows. He has not proven to be a good regular season goaltender. He hasn't. The times he's looked like he was on the verge of that, he got injured. And now it's his job, and he's doing a crappy job. I mean, I don't get why Penguins fans are so defensive about this. Why are they ambushing Paul? He wrote a fair column today. They don't look like a Stanley Cup caliber team. How could anybody argue that or refute that? I don't get it.
Because it's the one team in town where the fans think that the media is against them,
even though
they win constantly.
You think if we open the phone lines, they think that we're against them.
And more importantly, and more tellingly for what you're bringing up here, that the people talking about the team don't know anything about the team. Ironic, given that while there are plenty of diehards in that crowd who were there during the lean years, there are a whole lot of people who didn't know what hockey was until about 2005. Matt Murray has 121 games to his credit as a regular season goalie pony. First 62, combined save percentage is somewhere in like the 926 range, 925 range, if you try to average it out correctly, right?
Yeah.
The last 60 of them, Matt Murray's save percentage is somewhere in the 890 range, 895. His save percentage this year is 883. That would have been okay in the middle of the roaring 80s when every game was 6-5 and goalies didn't have pads that were wider than, you know, the ice surface. I mean, I've been a huge defender of the guy. He has been putrid in his 10 games this year. Putrid.
The Penguins have lost 7-8, and they're in last place. So, do they have a problem? Can Penguins fans admit, are there any fans out there that are willing to tell us that there's something wrong? And if there is, what is it? 412-928-9370. And if you don't think there's anything wrong, tell us why.
Yeah, I want to hear that point of view. And I want to hear if you're willing to concede that we are not blowing smoke and that we are not being alarmist.
I'm not trying to be an a-hole here. I know you're not. I just got really...
You're stating facts and they're going to tell you that you're being an idiot.
I just got really kind of defensive today because I didn't think that Zeiss deserved the abuse he was taking for this column. It was not that controversial. These Penguins just might not be Stanley Cup caliber. Yeah. Okay, he might be onto something.
I want to know what people's solution is.
It's not that bold of a thing to write.
I want to know what people's solution is because, say, another 15 games elapses and we're getting close to the halfway mark, the tried and true solution for this team that has actually worked on two separate occasions is fire the head coach.
Right. No one will say that.
And
we won't talk to a single person. We won't get a text or a phone call or a tweet from someone who says Sullivan is the problem. Not one.
I mean, he's won two out of the last three cups.
That'd
be a hell of a maneuver. But that's been their main solution outside of trades here or there, none of which have been what I would call blockbusters, has been fire the coach.
First step is admitting there's a problem. The Penguins got beat again last night, 4-3. What's their biggest problem? What's wrong? And how do you fix it? If you think they're fine, tell us that you're not nervous, that you think everything will be okay.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.